Bibles this morning to 2 Kings, and we'll read from chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Precious Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless us today with the reading of thy word, to studying, Lord, to watching the attributes and characteristics of how your prophet Elisha acted, that we might also, Father, have an understanding of how we as the church of the living God must watch and pray and wait upon thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice the husband died, and they didn't have money to pay the creditor, so they, in those days, they would take one of the children, or several of them, and they would have to work off the debt that the parent had. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do with thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And he said, and she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, except for a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty the vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Now go and sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. Hallelujah. I've got a question for you. Why do you think Elisha asked the woman, What hast thou in thine house? Can anybody tell me? Go ahead and take a stab at it. Remember, he was a prophet of God. But many times, God did not tell his prophets what to do. He just sent them to that place, and he left them to see for themselves a scene, and then to discern within themselves, by what they're seeing, the scene for their instructions as to what to do. In other words, Brother Branham had to go sit in a chair and wait. Until the hat was on that chair, the man was there, the woman was there. He had to wait. But here comes Elisha. He didn't have a vision from God. You and I don't have visions from God. I remember, Elisha tied to church, right? So we're going to look at us today. He had to wait and see. He asked the question. He started probing. Jesus at the well. Said to the woman, Go call thy husband. She said, I don't have a husband. Ah, there it is right there. There it is right there. You see, when God places you on the scene, has you go to do something, you put it in your heart to do it. But not all the time you know, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? He said, Go take charge of the meeting. I said, Lord, I'm just a man. Nevertheless, you told me to go take charge. I'm going to start walking toward the pulpit. I had no clue what to do. Many times the prophet of God has no clue what to do. Elisha had no clue what to do. So he had to get this scene moving. What do you have in your house? And when she said, I have a cruse of oil. Who had he been following the last number of years? Huh? All right. What about a cruse of oil at Elijah? Huh? What about a cruse of oil at Elijah? You're going to find that Elisha so watched Elijah, studied everything he did, every scene every action and every reaction. You need to turn this down a little bit. Until his actions were a reflection of Elijah's actions. Remember, he was a prophet, but many times God did not tell his prophets what to do. He just sent them to the place, left them to see for themselves the scene, and then to discern within them by what they see in the scenes for their instructions as what to do. Because they were seers. What does a seer do? He sees. Amen? And that meant that they were capable of seeing things in the supernatural that was about to take place. Now, I hate to bust your bubble, but we as the elect church of the living God have been given a double portion of what Christ had. From Elijah and Elisha, Brother Branham said, keep your eyes there. He said, now, if you see me when I go, my. He just kept walking and watching him. Watching him, he says, double. Then, when the first thing you know, down from heaven come a chariot, a horse of fire, and picked Elijah up. And as he went up, he took off his robe that he had opened the sea with, or opened the river. He took that robe off, dropped it back down, and Elisha picked it up, a beautiful type of the church. And when Jesus was here on earth, he done great works and great wonders. Elijah, when he was here, he did great works, but Elijah had a double portion of his spirit. Elijah done 8 miracles, and Elisha done 16 miracles, a double portion, perfect of the church. Jesus said himself in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works, more in volume than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And twice we see in Matthew where Jesus tells us that what we say, if we believe it, it shall be done even as we have said it. Matthew 17:14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. And sore, and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, in other words, away from everybody else, and he said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Didn't say unto me, he already knew that, unto you. Dorota, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, you can go ahead and keep translating. I'm just letting you know because of your situation. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Again, in Matthew 21:18, we read, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answering said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall say, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now notice he didn't say, if you pray unto me, I'll do it. Although he says in other places. But if you say this, if you say to this mountain and do not doubt, you will have what you said. Not what I said. What you said. Again in Mark 11:20, we read, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, says unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Notice, this illustration from Mark actually shows it wasn't like immediately, like right happened. It was the next day they came back and they saw it was already gone. And Peter calling to him, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, or if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou moved, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, and if you have aught against any, that your Father which also is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. Now, from his sermon paradox, Brother Brown said, whatever God said, or whatever God did, I don't know, but the sun stood still, the moon over Ajalon, because a man, a human being, was in the line of duty. In the line of duty, he commanded the sun to stand still. And if we're Christians, we have to believe this to be the infallible word of God. Now, everywhere he stopped the world, he stopped the sun. Whatever he did, it stood still for 24 hours, I believe it. Jesus said in St. Mark 11:22, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said. But that takes motive and objectives. Of course, you've got to have a reason for it. You can't have faith unless you've got some reason. It's exactly what I said when Brother Vail said, Brian, when you're teaching on John 14:12, what do you mean by that? And I said, Brother Vail, if our motive is right and our objective is right, then whatever God asks us to do, it'll be done. And he said, that's exactly right. In other words, I'm not up here trying to teach you to go out and just start performing miracles and stuff. I'm trying to get you your motives right, your objectives right, because it's already in you to do the miracles if you've got the Holy Ghost. But your motive's got to be right. Your objective's got to be right. Elisha had no clue what was going to happen with the woman. She had a request. She had a request that her sons were going to be taken into captivity. They were going to be used as bond slaves until the debt was paid off. Now, he hadn't come across that with Elijah. So he had no clue what to do. Right? And we're going to read Brother Bram's story. He's going to tell us, Brother, that Elisha was just as desperate as a woman because he had no idea. Okay? Many times you're in a situation, you have no idea how it's going to turn out. But you're there. You know you're there. You know God placed you there for some reason. Now he starts to probe, like Jesus did at the well. Okay, go get your husband. And we said, I don't have one. Oh, there we go. Something said. And the Holy Spirit dropped in. He said, you've got six. And the one you're with now isn't even yours. You've been living like a prostitute. Okay. In other words, God does not give us power over nature and over weather and the elements for us to just go and have a good time playing with it. He gives us his power when he gives us his word, his spirit. But it is our motive and objective that must be one with his word and will in order to speak the word with the power to back it up. So God placed a safety on his word like we would place a safety on our guns. So in the wrong hands, it won't do damage. He said the third pole is thoroughly identified, but I must not say anything unless the devil get a hold of it and do great damage with it. With spiritual amnesia, Brother Brown said, you must be identified with St. John, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Don't forget it. If you do, then you've got spiritual amnesia. You must be identified with it. And we've covered this before. Identified means that you become one with it. Don't forget it. If you do, then you've got spiritual amnesia. You've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten what your testimony means. And how about, and he said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Are you identified there to believe that that is the truth? Mark 11. Then he said, if you say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you have said. Can you be identified there to believe that that is the truth? If it hasn't, then you're getting spiritual amnesia and you forget. You lose your Christian balance. You can't tell where you belong. Three scriptures that say the same thing. John 14:12, Mark 11, and then the scripture there where he talks about if you believe, you see it as mountain, don't doubt in your heart. Now, from why little Bethlehem, Brother Brown's quoting scripture, and he says, if you abide in me and my word in you, then ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. God promised that. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Whosoever believes on me, the works that I do shall you do also. Even greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. What promises? Notice Brother Brown is letting us know that if you say to this mountain, it's no different from John 14:12. So what does that have to do with Elisha? Well, for warning and judgment, Brother Brown said, when you plead anything to God, you've got to be a reason for it. It's just like this scripture that I so often refer to. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and no doubt, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Now, that's altogether controlled on motive and objective. See? Or it won't happen. See? You just can't go out there and say, and that's where many of us make our mistakes, is going out and say, well, now I'll show you I got faith to do this. Now you're wrong to begin with. God don't give you gifts just to play with. Remember the angel of the Lord rebuked Brother Brown, said, you're making a show. Huh? As I was saying a while ago, he don't show you visions just to play with. That's nothing to play with. That's scared. Just use it as the Lord will let you be a prisoner to him. No matter how much you want to tell that guy he's wrong and what this, that, or the other, you hold still till God says so. Then when God says so, then you can come with thus saith the Lord. Until that, just forget about him. And from why Christ speak. Oh, and remember now, we're closing, it was he that said, John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Is that right? It was he that said so. It was Jesus in Mark 11:24 that said, if you say to this mountain, not if you pray to this mountain, but if you say to this mountain, be moved. That's a command. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass. You can have what you said. Now, if you say it just presumptuously, it won't happen. But it's something in you that you're anointed for the job and will know that it's the will of God to do it and will say it, it's got to happen. It was he that said, if ye abide in me, my word abides in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Oh my. You can see what I mean. So you're on the scene. God sent you someplace. And something comes up. The devil puts something on the scene that by nature, by weather, by whatever it might be, to try to interrupt the plan of God. You have the authority right there to say to that tornado, to say to that typhoon, whatever it might be, tornado, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to move away from here. It'll have to happen. Therefore, this morning, as we study Brother Brown's next example, which is Elisha and the Shunammite woman, I want you to recognize that you are looking at the church in type. I want to read again a statement Brother Brown made concerning how Elisha watched every move that Elijah made. And the promise to him, as if you watch what I do, then greater work shall you do, for I go to my Father. Just like Jesus said in John 14:12, the prophet Elijah said to Elisha, so the answer for Elisha lay in the watching and observing, and then in the doing exactly like Jesus did. And that is the answer for John 14:12. We all say, well, Brother Brown had visions. He knew what to do because God told him what to do. Listen, God sent you. He's got it all written in right here. All you got to do is study out the moves, the motions, the actions, the things Jesus said, the things that he did. It's right there for you. Just like it was right there for Elisha. Elisha didn't have a vision and say, oh, tell her the pot. No, he said, in his mind, he said, ah, Elijah prayed over a woman's vessel of oil. And it never went dry until after the drought was over. Whatever it was, 3 years, whatever it was. Hallelujah. Now, I can step in here because I've got the same scene. You know, we've been looking at these people in the Bible, not just to tell stories, but for you to be able to find someone in the Scripture that you can identify with in their particular situation, and knowing God is not a respecter of persons, He will have to do the same for you that He did for that person, if you have the same motive and the same objective. Now, you for your family. You have Job. Is your motive and objective the same as his? Then your answer is the same, brother. Now, it might be the same. It is the same. Hallelujah. So the answer for Elisha lay in the watching and having watched and observed the life, the actions, the words of Elisha. From Elisha and Elijah, he says, keep your eye there. He said, now, if you see me when I go, my. He just kept walking and watching him. Then when the first thing you know, down from the heaven come a chariot, horse of fire, picked Elijah up, and as he went, he took off his robe that he had opened the sea with, or the river, took that robe off, dropped it back down, and Elijah picked it up, a beautiful type of the church. And I'd like to add, what did Elijah do with that robe that before he left? When he opened that, he took that robe, he rolled it up, he smacked the water, and the river opened up and he walked over on dry land. Both of them did. What's the very first thing that Elisha did with that robe? He walked right to the Jordan, rolled it up the same way Elijah did, smacked it just like Elijah did, and what happened? The same results that Elijah had. And you will find time and time and time again, any man of God that's been on the scene where there have been great miracles, they pattern Elijah. Now, you've got Martin, you've got Columba, did the same thing. Mouth on the mouth, eyes on the eyes, hands on the hands, and the person was raised from the dead. Elijah did it, Elisha did it, Brother Branham did it. Exactly. You say, when did Brother Brown do it? There was a man who had died of tuberculosis. Brother Brown was just a young minister at the time. He said, I don't know what came over me, but he said, I found myself with my face on his face, my mouth on his mouth, and he said, and his entrails had been coming up out of his mouth. And I found myself mouth to mouth and hands to hands, and God restored the man to life. He'd been dead, died of tuberculosis. Yeah, when I saw that, I thought, my. He didn't look at the man, the situation. He looked at the scene. And he did exactly what Elijah did, exactly what Martin did, exactly what Columba did, exactly what Elisha did. Hallelujah. When Jesus was here on earth, he done great works and great wonders. Elijah, when he was here, he did great works. But Elisha had a double portion of the Spirit. Elijah done 8 miracles. And Elisha done 16 miracles, a double portion, perfect of the church. Now let's go and read the story to see what happens. And Elijah took his mantle and he wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither. So they too went on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. And if not, it shall not be so. In other words, if you're not following me, if you're not watching me, if you're not getting that pattern so ingrained into you, forget it. And it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and a horse of the fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horses thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in 2 pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, John? Where is the God of Malachi 3:6 that changes not? I'm doing exactly what you told me to do. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall be healed. Where is the God of William Branham? Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where is the God of Paul? Hallelujah. You have a right to say those words if you're a believer. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, when they saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. In other words, when they saw the same works that Elijah had done, being done by Elisha, they identified the spirit that was upon him to be the same as what had been upon Elijah by its characteristics. Now, the spirit of Elijah has been here in this hour. And there should be a double portion upon the bride. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of William Branham? Do the people even believe his message? John 14:12 is the identifiable characteristic of a true believer who has the same spirit upon him that was upon Christ. Now let's go back to our story in 2 Kings 4 and 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? Now remember, I already asked you the question, why do you think that Elisha asked her, what hast thou in thy house? Can anyone tell me? Well, if you study that out, what takes place, you'll see the answer. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the whole house except this pot of oil. Except this cruse of oil. That's it. That was the key right there that got the answer for Elisha. He had watched Elijah very intently for quite some time and observed, and now it fell upon him to do what Elijah would have done. And we have a saying in Christian circles, WWJD. You've probably seen the t-shirts, WWJD, which means, what would Jesus do? And that's your answer. And that was Elisha's answer in this scene that was developing before him. What would Elijah have done? So then he asked, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And when he said, when she said, I have a cruse of oil, his mind immediately saw a mental vision of Elijah taking the cruse of oil and praying over it, and that never went empty. And this woman had nothing to pay the man her debt that her husband had owed. But she did have a cruse of oil that if the scene plays out right, it'll never go empty. And she'll be able to take it and sell it and make money on it, and she'll be able to pay her debt, and he said, and she'll be able to live on the rest of what's there. Hallelujah. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her husband, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto them, there is not any more vessels, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. What a tremendous story. And Elisha went forth doing twice as many miracles as Elijah had done. Verse 8, and it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, she turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. In other words, she recognized there's something about him. He didn't cuss, he didn't swear, as Brother Branham, when he tells us the story. When her husband wasn't home, he stayed outside. He didn't go in the house with her. He was a gentleman. He was holy. Now let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell upon that day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her and stood before him, and he said unto Gehazi, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken up to the king or to the captain of the host? I know both. And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? In other words, they had means. These were not poor people. They had means and they were sharing what they had with others. What then is it to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child and her husband is old. And he saith, call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Now it's about this time next year, you're going to have a child, a boy. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaiden. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that when it went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And we had taken him and brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon or Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding on my behalf, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass that when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now she had a dead child back home. But as Brother Branham said, she knew she could get in the presence of that prophet who prayed to God, and she was given that child, that the same God who gave her that child could also raise that child up again. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from him, or hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff into thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. What changed here? He said, take my staff, take my handkerchief, take my tie, take a piece of my clothing, lay it on the child. Don't stop. Get there as soon as you can, do it. But when the woman said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. But she said, I will not leave thee. Now listen carefully. When she said those words, I will not leave thee, right there the hat was on the chair. Because those were the same words that he had spoken to Elijah, and now they're coming back out of her mouth back to him. When he heard those words, he knew God was on the scene. Because God had put those same words in her mouth that God had placed in his mouth before the double portion came on him. And now the same scene that he had seen Elijah do, the same works of God that Elijah had done, he now knew what he had to do. In other words, he got a quick reminder. Elijah went and laid his hands upon the dead man's hands. in the dead child's hands. He laid his mouth upon their mouth, his eyes upon their eyes. Staff's not good enough. I've got to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, because God is the same. God is not a respecter of the vessel. But the vessel must do the same. When the vision says Moses step into the water, he had to step into the water. Right? When Moses took his rod, stepped into the water, hit the water, Elijah took his coat, hit the water, rolled it up tight like a rod, hit the water, Elisha rolled up tight like a rod, like Moses, like Elijah. You see the pattern. Step into the pattern, and you get the same results. We're being conformed to the image of the firstborn son, right? Is that not right? Hallelujah. When he heard those words, he knew God was on the scene, because God had put those same words in her mouth that God had placed in his mouth before the double portion came. Now, the same scene that he had seen Elijah do, the same works of God that Elijah had done, he now knew that he had to do. He had to go and lay on the boy with his nose to his nose, his lips to his lips, his hands to his hands, just like he had seen Elijah do. That was what he knew by God's grace to have allowed him to see it, to see it be done. Now all he had to do was to step into that scene and do the same thing, and he would get the same results. And Gehazi passed on before him and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. In other words, there was no results. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and he told him, saying, the child is not awake. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in there, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and he prayed unto the Lord, and he went up and laid upon the child, and he put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was coming unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went up. Hallelujah. As Brother Branham stated, there were many miracles in the ministry of Elijah. I believe there were, he said, eight, as Brother Branham said, and I would like to break them down into three categories, three different categories. Number one, there were miracles of healing and power over life and death. Healing, which is basically giving back life. And so he had basically the power over life and death. Number two, he had power of nature, power over weather. And number three, creative power over elements, whatever they might be. Fish, bread, baskets. Why do you think Jesus, when there 5,000 people there, why do you think Jesus said, when they came, they said, hey, the people are hungry. We have no food to give them. He said, find out if somebody has something. A boy had several fish, several loaves. Jesus now had the pattern. You say he did? Yeah. Elijah did the same thing. You see, with oil and the wheat? No, with bread. I'm going to show you this more. Let's break them down. Okay, category number one, healing and power over life and death. Number one, Elijah raised the widow's son from the dead. 1 Kings 17, 22 and 23. The second category of miracles was the exercise of power over nature. Is to shut up the heavens, causing a drought. 1 Kings 17, 1. And they called for the rain. Rain to cease for 3.5 years, and it did. He also called for it to come back. And it did. Calling fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice on the altar, 1 Kings 18, 25, 28. And I don't know if that was fire or if that was lightning or whatever it was, but it came down from heaven, fire. It had to be hot enough to consume it instantly, like a bolt of lightning coming down and just frying whatever's there. He called for rain, 1 Kings 18, 41-45. Called for fire from heaven upon 50 soldiers twice. And parting of the Jordan. The third category of miracles was a creative power over the elements. He multiplied flour and oil for the widow, 1 Kings 17, 14-16. And the miracle of the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil, 1 Kings 17, I've got the wrong one down here, but there's actually, when a man came to him and said, this whole host of brethren here are without food. He said, somebody bring me the bread. They brought the bread, he prayed for it, and they ate until there wasn't any left. Now, then there were supernatural events that also took place in his ministry, but these were sovereignly done by God. Being caught up to heaven in a whirlwind, being fed by the ravens. And then there were six prophecies, which were attributes and characteristics of his being a prophet, and which are also the supernatural works of a prophet of God. One, prophecy of Ahab's sons would all be destroyed. Prophecy of Jezebel would be eaten by dogs. Prophecy of Ahaziah would die in his illness. Prophecy that Jezebel would be eaten by dogs. Prophecy that Jezebel... Excuse me, I got the double. Prophecy of Elisha would have a double portion. I want you to notice that Elisha had observed each of Elijah's miracles, and in many of the miracles which were performed in Elisha's ministry, which he had twice as many miracles in his ministry as Elijah's ministry, yet most of them came as a result of doing what Elijah had already done, and some of them he just did exactly what he had seen Elijah do before him, and he had twice as many miracles in his ministry as Elijah, which might explain the double portion. Again, we'll break them down by the three categories. Number one, healing of power over life and death. Or healing and power over life and death. Number one, the prophecy that the Shunammite woman would have a son. Number two, in other words, as Brother Brown prayed for people that couldn't have children, they later had children. I've seen that in my own. I didn't even know what happened. But I had a sister come in 2002 in Uganda, and her and her husband had been married 8 years. They couldn't have children. I just simply asked God to give them the desire of their heart, let them have children. I got an email just about 2 years ago. That's what, 14 years later. And the brother said, I never told you this, but after you prayed for that woman in 2002, they've now had 4 children. You see? Follow the pattern. Resurrection of the Shunammite son. Resurrection of the man touched by his bones. Healing of Naaman of leprosy. The curse of the she-bears, smiting of the Syrian army with blindness, restoring the sight of the Syrian army. Now, the second category of miracles was the exercise of power over nature. The parting of the Jordan, healing of the waters, filling of the valley with water without any rain. If you haven't read that one, that's pretty good. Deception of the Moabites with the valley of blood. In other words, they were the Moabites had come to the river, and all of a sudden the river turned blood red. They thought that was because half their guys were being slain on the other side, so they just fell back. The third category of miracles was the creative power over the elements, the floating of the axe head, healing of the gourds, miracles of the multiplying of the bread loaves, miracles of the vessels of oil, and the deception of the Syrians with the sound of chariots. And as Elijah had six prophecies that were attributable and characteristics of his being a prophet, and which are also the supernatural works of a prophet of God, we see that Elisha had twice as many of these, also showing the double portion was upon him in his part of this ministry as well. The prophecy of Ben-Hadad's untimely death, prophecy of Jehu would smite the house of Ahab, prophecy that Joash would smite the Syrians at Aphek, prophecy that Joash... discerning of Gehazi's transgression, cursing Gehazi with leprosy, prophecy of the end of the great famine, prophecy of scoffer who would see but not partake of the abundance, prophecy of the Syrian battle plans, prophecy of the 7-year famine, prophecy of Haziel's cruelty to Israel, and visions of the chariots. Well, actually, there should have been 5 because I doubled one in there, and there should have been 10 here because I actually got 2 of them doubled up. Now, in closing, I'm just going to read what Brother Branham had to say about Elisha and the Shunammite woman in paragraph 73 of his sermon, Desperation. The Shunammite woman had a little boy that the prophet had spoke the word of the Lord over her. though she was old and her husband old. They had no children, but she was kind to this prophet, and she knew that he was a man of God, and she perceived that he was honorable, a real man. He come into the house, her husband not there, and whatever more, he was a holy man. They could see that he was an honorable person. She watched him to do signs and wonders. She'd heard him tell things that had happened. He was an honorable, holy man. She said to her husband, I perceive that this man that stops with us is a holy man. The lady of the house, she knowed that he was a holy man, and she built a little house out there for him so that he wouldn't be embarrassed. He would come by when he wanted to do so and so forth. He put a little bed out there and a jug of water and so forth so he could wash himself and have something to drink. And she'd probably send a maid out or somebody, the butler, with some food to feed him and come by and visit him today or something. And so when Elisha saw this kindness done to him, and it's written, what you do to my little ones, you've done unto me. So he saw that the woman was honoring God as she honored his prophet, this prophet, as she seen God in the prophet. And so she wanted nothing for it. It wasn't in her heart for anything. She just done it because she loved God. She didn't do it for any blessing. She just done it. And now Elisha said, go ask her, shall I speak to the king for her? I'm a personal friend. Or the chief captain, I know him real well. There's some favor, something that I could do for her in return. I want to give her something for how that she's been to me. She's fed me, she's let me sleep in the beds, and she's been a real nice to us. Now what can I do? And she said, no, I just dwell among my people. We're well off. We have a living, and that's all. We don't need nothing. And Gehazi said to him, but she doesn't have any children. No more than Gehazi said it, no doubt the prophet saw a vision, for he said, thus saith the Lord, go tell her in the appropriate time or the appropriate time of year from now, she'll embrace a son. Now listen, there was a pattern already. Melchizedek came to Abraham. Abraham, get out the wine, get out the slay the fatted calf. Do what we can for this great man. He recognized that was a holy man. He didn't know it was God at the time. He recognized it as a holy man. But when he then, thus saith the Lord, at this time, a year from now, the time of life, you're going to have a son. This woman saw God in the prophet Elisha. He recognized the same scene. He spoke the same words. God honored those words because he's the same yesterday, today. Oh, hallelujah. When we can look, read your Bible every day. Study it. Don't read it like a newspaper. Study it to see how Jesus walked and talked and acted. Study in the book of Acts how the people talked and walked and acted. And you'll see when those things come upon you, or upon you, you come upon that scene, whatever it would be, God will quicken to hear and drop it into here. And it's yours. And the son was born, and when he was about 12 years old, how that old couple must have loved this little boy, their own child. And one day he was out cutting wheat with his daddy. Must have been about the middle of the day. He had a sunstroke, I suppose, because he began to holler, my head. He got sicker and sicker. His daddy had to take him from the field, and it was such an emergency there that he sent a servant and set him in, and the mother held him on her lap until noontime, and then he died. Notice her only child that had been given to her by the Lord through the prayer and the promise of a prophet, and thus saith the Lord. She knew there was something wrong somewhere. It just wouldn't work. How could God give her that son and let her love come to that baby? Yet she never asked for it. She was too old to have it. The hand of God had to pronounce it. A man spoke it, the prophet, and there this baby in this condition had died, her only son, given by a promise of God. So she said to the servant, I see the scene. Abraham had a son. He was told to take that son up and sacrifice. But Abraham was confident that the very God who gave him the son, who told him through that son, would be his blessing, that he was more than able to raise that son from the dead. So I'm going back to where I got the blessing from. to the man of God who pronounced that blessing over me. And I'm looking for God to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Notice her only child that had been given to her by the Lord through the prayer and the promise of the prophet, and thus saith the Lord. She knew there was something wrong somewhere. It just wouldn't work. How would God give her that son and let her love come to that baby? Yet she never asked for it. She was too old to have it. The hand of God had pronounced it. A man spoke it, the prophet, and there this baby in this condition had died, her only son. So she said to the servant, saddle me a mule, and you ride, and don't you stop. If anybody tries to stop you, don't you say a word, and you drive straight to Mount Carmel. Up there in the cave somewhere, pull back, there's a servant of the Most High God, the one who told me, thus say the Lord, I have the baby. I want to know why God has done this. So said, go straight forward and don't check that mule. Let him run just as hard as everything in him. Let him run till you get there. And Elijah the prophet raised up and looked and he said, here comes that Shunammite woman. And there's something wrong with her. God's kept it from me. I don't know what's wrong. He said, but go meet her. And I got, and let's hurry, there's something wrong. Desperation set in on that prophet. And desperation on that woman. See? They were coming together, one wanting to know what the word of the Lord was, and the other one didn't know what the word of the Lord was. There you are. One wanting to know, and the other didn't know it. The woman wanted to know it, and the prophet didn't know it. He said, God's kept it from me. I don't know what to tell her when she gets here. So she was almost there then. He raised up his hand. He said, is all well with thee and with thy husband? Is all well with the child? Now the woman had reached the end of her desperation. She said, all is well. Glory, all is well. Her desperation was over. She found the servant of the Lord. And if he hadn't been there, she'd still been in desperation. But she seen he was there. She said, all is well. Elisha thought, well, what's going on now? So she ran up and fell down at his feet. That looked uncommon. So Gehazi just lifted her up, said, let her alone, don't do that. Elijah said to his servant, don't do that, let her alone. There's something wrong. God keeps it from me. Then she revealed to him that the baby was dead. Now the prophet didn't know what to do. Huh? A prophet not knowing what to do? Absolutely, he's a man. The prophet didn't know what to do. He said, Gehazi, take this staff that I walked on. And he knew that whatever he touched was blessed. Because it wasn't him, it was God in him. He knew who he was. He knew that he was a prophet. So he picks up the staff and he said, Gehazi, you take this and you go and lay it upon the child. And if anything speaks to you, you get that, you get desperate. And don't you salute nobody. And just keep on going. Don't speak to nobody. Put it upon the child. But the woman, that didn't end her desperation. That didn't satisfy what she had come for. She said, as the Lord lives, I'm not going to leave you until you minister to that child. And Elisha got desperate. And here he went down the road, him and the woman. And when they got there, all the people were out in the yard screaming and crying, and the woman had done the most appropriate thing could be done. She took the baby and laid him on the bed where Elijah had laid. That was as good as his staff, and he didn't wake up there. So the thing wouldn't work. She wanted to know something different. I've already laid him on the bed where it's been laid. Your staff's not going to do anything different. I want you. The prophet went in. Now he's in desperation. Now what's he going to do? And we find in the Bible that he walked up and down the floor desperate. I don't know nothing else to do, Lord. Here I am. You told me to speak that to that woman, and thus saith the Lord, and it was exactly the way that I told her, because you told me. Now there she's in trouble, and I don't know what to do. There lays the dead boy. What can I do, Lord? I'm a man. What can I do? What can I do, Lord? This is a storm. I'm a man. So take charge of the meeting. Okay? First step, I see the pattern, Jesus. Second step, I see one who stepped into the pattern, William Brad. Doing the same thing. All I did was go, step into that pattern, step into the vision. and said, I take charge of every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God and Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. I know, I acknowledge that you're the prince and power of the earth, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to stop. I don't know nothing else, Lord, to do. Here I am. You told me to speak to that woman, and thus saith the Lord, and it was exactly the way that I told her because you told me. Now, there she's in trouble, and I don't know what to do. There lays a dead boy. What can I do, Lord? No doubt the Holy Spirit said, if the God is in you, then lay your hands upon that baby. First thing you know, he stopped, he run and put his hands upon his hands, his nose upon his nose, his lips upon his lips. And when he laid himself over it, the baby sneezed 7 times, desperation was over. The baby come to life. Because that desperation drove the woman to the prophet, and desperation drove the prophet to the baby, and desperation in both of them drew God on the scene. With love of God and love for his people, brought the love of God down, and through faith out on the battlefield, and the work was done. Case closed, amen, that's it. Desperation does it, certainly. She wasn't going to leave. Now, in closing, let me just say this, that I can show you men like Martin and Columba, who also raised men from the dead, and they did it in the same way that Elijah and Elisha did. They laid hands upon the dead upon the dead man's hands, their eyes upon their eyes, mouth on the mouth, hands on the hands, and they got the same results as Elijah and Elisha got. I know for a fact that this happened in Brother Brown's ministry as well. As I mentioned earlier, in his early years, he, a man... who had died with TB, and Brother Brad laid his hands on his hands, his mouth on his mouth. So I hope that we can take away from here this morning. Read your Bible every day. And get to know the things of Christ, what he did, what he said. Get to know detail by detail and what the apostles did in the book of Acts, because Jesus said in John 14:12, the things that I do, you shall do also. And when called upon by God, you will do the same that he did, and you will have the same results, because it's not the vessel. It's the God who's using the vessel. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6 tells us that God is the same and changes not. And in Acts 10:34, the Apostle Peter tells us, and in Romans 2:11, the Apostle Paul tells us that God is no respecter of persons. And by this we are being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. How? The Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting, that's the maturing, of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the revelation of Christ and the knowledge, the epignosko, the full knowing based upon an experiential knowing of the Son of God. Like Elisha experienced the life of Elijah by watching Elijah's every move and studying them, we are to study the life of the Son of God and every work he did, and that will bring unto us unto a perfect man, a fully equipped man, a mature man, a mentally and morally complete man, unto the measure which is the metron, or the limited portion of the stature, which is the maturity of the fulfilling of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for opening our eyes to these things today. I pray, Father, more than ever, help us to read our Bibles, to study it, to read the book of Acts, to read the life of Jesus Christ, to read the life of Paul and Peter, the life of Martin and Columba and William Branham and the great ones who went forth, who stepped into the scene. As Brother Bosworth prayed, and he had a special anointing over the deaf, and every time he got a deaf patient, he was so tickled because it worked once, it's going to work again. It's like when a child learns how to flip the switch on, and they know that every time I go to that light switch, it's going to go on. Father, it's just like faith is like turning that light switch on, because we know and have received, Lord, we've experienced when situations have come up and we stepped in the scene, into that scene, and we've taken over that scene, Father, by stepping into it, and we've seen the same results that were in the Bible, then we know that each time that scene repeats, the same result will happen. Oh God, thank you, Father, for your promises that you've given to us. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen.